whenever you go to a pastor and you say, you know, what this guy did, he went to his pastor and said, you know, I met this lovely woman. You know, we want to get married, but she, her divorce is not final for about 6 more months. And we love each other. We're going to get married. Would it be okay if we started having a sexual relationship before we get married? And the pastor said, yeah, it's okay. Now, that was his opinion, and his opinion don't count before God. And so that opinion, that guy gave that man, and this couple got married, and they, sure, they had sex normal for 6 months, and then after they got married, it was normal for about 6 months. And then all of a sudden, bam, he can't go there. So for 25 years, when they came to Cheryl and I a few years ago, they had not had sex in 25 years. But they married. She was ready for a divorce. It'd be something, isn't it? A sexual created being and her husband can't have sex because of their disobedience. See, neither one of them knew what they'd done. They knew what they did wrong. They didn't have any idea that God was going to judge them for that. I told him, I said, well, tell you what, I believe that this God we serve is so merciful. If you two both will repent of your sin and tell God you're sorry for what you've done, then I believe we can ask the King to restore you, and I believe He will. And I believe you two can enjoy the rest of your life with a normal sexual relationship. They both poured out their heart to God. God, we are so sorry. We were so stupid. Lord, we did this. Yes, we knew this was wrong 25 years ago. But we now really know it's wrong. And so, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Isn't it wonderful to serve a God that's merciful? So I ask the Lord to restore him and make him normal, and let them be able to have a normal sexual relationship. It was only 2 or 3 weeks later. He came to church on Sunday morning and he said, Pastor, oh, I wish I'd have met you 25 years ago. He said, I'd have never got in that sin. If you'd have been the pastor, I'd have come ask, you'd have said, don't you touch that girl till you marry her. And he said, I wouldn't have. And he said, now I would have never had this problem. But said, the pastor that told me it was okay, I listened to him because I wanted to hear what he said. Isn't that normal? Hey, did he disobey God? God told him what to do, didn't he? Just like Adam and Eve. It cost Adam severely too, didn't he, when he didn't obey God. But he disobeyed. And so it cost him 25 years. But then after they both repented, within 2 weeks, he was normal again. And the last time I saw them, he said, oh, praise God. He said, oh, what a difference. He said, our life is normal again. He said, my wife's happy. You know, he said, I'm happy. But isn't it amazing? I said, well, you know, God did say we could ask for anything after we repent, didn't he? See, a lot of people will never even ask God for something like that. They don't even realize. They have no knowledge. They've never read the Word enough to realize that's a judgment of God, because what you sinned with is where you're going to be attacked. And he'd sinned with his sexual organs. And so that's what was attacked. The Word of God says that. But he didn't know that. And here he was, a missionary. A man serving in the mission field for 20 or 25 years. Wow. Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Who do you belong to? God. If you're a son of God, that's who you belong to. Verse 20. One last verse here, verse 20. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. What price did He pay for you? Man, He died for you and me. He paid that price on that cross. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And He don't put up much nonsense. And the average Christian does not know this. They think once I go to church and get saved, I'm okay. I can just go do anything I want to. But that's not what the Scripture says. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 17 in the NLT. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 17. Now about the question you ask in your letter. Lots of people ask this question. Yes, it is good to live a celibate life. But because there is so much sexual immorality, In other words, we must have had this problem 2,000 years ago, huh? I think we've had this problem for 6,000 years, don't you? Because you remember, why did God destroy the earth after the first 1,000 years? There was so much sexual immorality, and the thoughts and intents of every person's heart was wicked continuously. No righteous. None whatsoever. Everybody was righteous. So God destroyed the world. Totally destroyed it. But because there's so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. Now then, some women are just as bad as men. I mean, you run into a woman every once in a while, you know, I mean, she thinks she can't live without sex every day. She's got to have a husband. But as a rule, that's not the way the woman is. But that is the way God made the man. You know, God made a man. He made his body, developed his body, so the man is supposed to be a sex object that has sex regularly. A man that don't have sex but once every month or two, something wrong with that guy. Definitely something wrong with him. He's not normal. So somebody said, well, you know, gee, I love to have sex with my wife every day. Well, if you're a normal man, you're 20 years old or 30 or 40 years old, that's normal. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, so... But anyway, people do not understand. Women don't understand men, and men don't understand women. And so since we don't, we have all these problems, and that's where we have all the complications that comes up. But because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. Verse 3 and 4. The husband should not deprive his wife of sexual intimacy, which is her right as a married woman. Nor should the wife deprive her husband. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Now then, if you're a married couple, and I've seen many times I've seen women do this to their husband, since they know their husband likes to have sex every day. I mean, very few women that you talk to, does your husband like to have sex? Oh yeah, he likes to have sex every day. Well, how about you? Well, I don't care whether we have it or not. Well, that's beside the point. If you're married to that man and you're not going to let that man have sex, you're living in rebellion and you're living in witchcraft before God, and every form of evil is in your house and it's going to make you sick. So many women are sick because they say, I don't like the way you did this last week, so until you straighten your act up, you ain't going to sleep with me no more. Let me tell you, that woman is asking for it. That is not God. What does the Word say? The husband should not deprive his wife of sexual intimacy. If you had a hard day today, I mean, you're worked and you're down to your bone. I mean, you're so tired you couldn't hardly get in bed that night. And your wife today is the day she wants to have sex. She comes in and she crawls in up to you and starts hugging all over you. And she says, honey, I want to go there. You better not turn over and say, I'm too tired. You better take care of her. She wants you to love her. I mean, I'm telling you what God said right in His book. You know, I'm telling you the way God made you. And He says, "And which is her right as a married woman, nor should the wife deprive her husband." Now then, I mean, I deal with people all the time. All the time. I mean, this has really come to a head now. This is on my heart. I've dealt with so many of them in the last few weeks. So many men and women in the church that they won't go there with their mate. He said, well, I'm tired today. I don't want to go have sex with you tonight. But if your wife, if it's that time she wants to be fulfilled, hold her in your arms. Love her. You know, kiss her. Be gentle with her. Treat her with love and respect and meet her needs. It's her right. Your body is not your own. Your body belongs to your wife. If she wants you to go there with her, do everything you can to fulfill her. Now, the same way, he says the same way with a man. I mean, if you're the woman, you're the wife, well, I don't feel like having sex with my husband now, so I'll tell him I got a headache. I hear that story all the time. I mean, did I write this book or did God write this book? Is this some crazy book or is this a book that God wrote? The husband should not deprive his wife of sexual intimacy, which is her right as a married woman. Now, see, that woman can't go out and have sex with another man. But see, what happens is we decide we don't want to give that wife sexual intimacy. She did something we don't like, so we're just going to cut her off for a while. And so now she's working around a bunch of good men that, and of course, when they start talking to her and telling her nice things and start seeing her and say, "Oh, you sure do smell good today. Oh, you like my perfume?" "Yes, I do." And then he starts saying nice things to her. First thing you know, that man will be in bed with that woman. And who was the problem? The husband. Because he wouldn't meet her physical needs. Do y'all see where I'm coming from? Do you see why we have to deal with all this nonsense I have to deal with people in the church? Now, the average of you don't, before I became a pastor, I never knew this kind of stuff even went on. But once I become a pastor, man, it's a whole different world. I had no idea how many people is messing around on their mates. Well, I ain't going to have sex with my husband. I mean, he said something 3 months ago, and I ain't slept with him since. I said, "You know what's going to happen? When he commits adultery on you, what are you going to do?" She said, "I'm going to divorce him." I said, "Well, he's going to have sex with somebody. And God put you out there to fulfill his need. And God made that man, if you're a young man especially, you know, a young man, if you're under 120. If you're under 120, you're a young man. And God made that man to have sex with his wife. I mean, I'm going to be like the guy down at the seminary. There's a young man in seminary, and there was an 84-year-old man there. And he's teaching. And they was teaching about these things. And he said, "Sir, professor, how old do you have to get before you don't enjoy sex with your wife anymore?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "What do you mean you don't know? Aren't you 84? He said, "Yeah." He said, "Don't you know how old you have to be?" He said, "No." He said, "I still enjoy intimacy with my wife. I may be 84, but we still have sexual relationship." You know, I mean, Abraham was 175, and was he bringing forth children? Obviously, he was still having sex at 175, because it's hard to bring them without it, right? I don't know. I think that people think when they get over 50 or 60 that, you know, that's something you don't do no more.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.